Chapter 34. Agadir, Morocco, November 2009. The taxi bumped and rattled its way along the highway from the airport. Dust rose in the hot air all around, almost obscuring a desolate landscape of sand and scrub. After the cooling autumn temperatures in France, it seemed incongruous to be back in shirt sleeves and sandals. Enzo felt the sweat prickling across his forehead. There was no AC in the car, and the air blowing in the driver's open window did little to cool him. It was close to 30 degrees centigrade, the African sun bright in the southern sky, and Enzo had been forced to dig out his sunglasses from their winter hibernation in the bottom of his bag. During the nearly three-hour flight, he had stared blindly out into the endless blue, lost in a turmoil of thoughts about Charlotte and his unborn son, thoughts that had kept him awake most of the night, listening to the flights coming and going, trying to reach some decision about a course of action. In the end, he had realized that he was powerless to do anything, at least until the child was born. Then, with the fear of termination no longer an issue, he could surely make some legal claim on the child. But he had been haunted during all those waking hours by the words that Charlotte had used to cut him open and lay him bare. "For heaven's sake, Enzo, for once in your life, think about someone else for a change." He gazed from the window as the outskirts of Agadir grew up around the arterial route that led unwaveringly toward downtown. Nearly 50 years after the quake, it still looked like a town in ruins. Unfinished apartment blocks sprang up like weeds from the dust and rubble. Roads had been laid out around gap sites, and satellite dishes grew like fungus on unrendered cement. Here and there was the odd splash of colour, red, green, blue amongst all the grey. Stores and stalls selling clothes and groceries. Enzo was reminded of video footage he had seen on TV of a bombed-out Beirut. As they neared the coast and the city centre, they passed walled villas slumbering in the shade of tall trees, rows of storefronts open for business. The traffic thickened, like cholesterol slowing the blood flow, until they reached the boulevard that followed the shoreline along the tourist strip. Luxury hotels, palm trees, manicured lawns. Enzo saw the curve of the beach, a deep crescent of golden sand washed by warm North Atlantic waters. It stretched away into a hazy distance, where the land rose above the docks at the north end and the remains of the old Casbah stood on the hill above. Enzo tapped the driver on the shoulder.
"Could you take me to the Casbah?"
The driver shrugged without turning.
"Nothing to see there, monsieur."
"All the same."
He shrugged again.
"Sure."
Major new highways converged on an enormous circular junction at the foot of the hill where the original city had once stood, and the driver turned off, circumventing roadworks and bumping over broken tarmac before heading up toward the walls of the old Casbah. The road wound steeply around the hillside before spilling them out into a large, paved parking area.
"You walk from here," the driver said. "I'll wait for you."
Enzo stood looking out over the wall that bounded the car park down onto the docks below, the marina, and the port, where all the fishing boats were tied up in rows. Then he turned to brave the touts and stallholders who lined the climb toward the old gate. He brushed aside offers of carpets and jewellery, pottery and camel rides, bottles of soda and food proffered by filthy fingers. Faces that were hopeful on his approach spat imprecations at his back, and he passed through the old gateway, climbing up broken steps into the Casbah itself.